Have you ever thought to yourself what it would have been like to be alive during the times when Jesus was here on this earth? Walking around with the Son of God, being taught, led, and instructed by Jesus himself. How great would that be? Well, not to burst your bubble or mine, but I've yet to get that time machine working right. It's not going to happen. We don't get to go back there. So if that's the first greatest thing that could happen, what's the second? And again, this is somewhat of an opinion, but follow with me. We'll see if it might become your second too as we go through and find out what second could be. We are in a blessed and graced period by God, a period of grace where God is dealing with his people, us, right now. A great, amazing time where Jesus Christ offered his sacrifice on the cross, allowing God to then deal with us in grace. We do live in a time that has an immense uncovering of knowledge. With each exploration and expedition, archaeological sites confirm the truth of God's written word, the Bible. Findings from secular pieces that interlace with God and his people only further prove the truth that God has foretold. The historical reality of the Bible along with its spiritual realities. But we still have yet for me to come to what's second best, to walking with Christ on this earth. And this is only the second best for earthly things. Just keep that in mind. God's word is many prophecies, many foretelling of future events, and in enough detail that it shows more than a mere guess, a more generalized, generic, overall answer that could predict anything. If it was right or wrong, it would still cover both. God's word is more specific than that. He takes a side, he takes a stand, and tells us where he stands before. You could be that skeptic that doesn't trust God's word as having been foretold. That's okay too. But we stand here, I stand here today with you that God's word has been written in advance. Everything that he's foretold has come true with 100% accuracy. There is a time coming when Christ will visit this earth again. He's going to walk on this earth one more time. But prior to that, he's going to do a drive-by tour. He's not going to come and step foot on the earth. He's going to come in the clouds. How great would it be to walk with Jesus? That question and ask just a moment ago. As great as that would be, we can find some other amazing things in God's truth and his word. Peter, in the sermon text that we're about to get into, is telling us and preparing us that God wants us to look at what God had told the prophets to share with us. Not just the prophets, but yet what the apostles in the New Testament were asked to share as they learned through the living word, Jesus Christ. Which gets us really close to the second best thing I can foresee being on this earth and being a part of with God. And that's being a part of his prophecy. It's a part that not a lot touch on, not a lot preach on. And I'll be honest, I was a little scared to get up here and do this. But nonetheless, this is God's word and it has to be shared. And by God's will, it will be shared as accurately as possible, not to distort the truth that he has. May he share it with us today. I know we're talking about prophecy. That can be overwhelming for some, just not something some are interested in. But before you roll your eyes, before you zone out, follow me as I read Revelation 1:3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Now understand that when the time was near was written, we're talking a long time ago. They thought the time was near then. We think the time is near now. God knows what the true timing is, but the reality that God wants from us is to keep it at the forefront of our mind. He's given us lots of His Word to study so that we can move forward, growing in our knowledge of what God asks of each and every one of us. He gave it to us to be diligent so that we can then teach others. So we go to 2 Peter 3, 1 through 9. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you, Peter writes. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given you by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised?" Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. We can look, or finish the verse, I should say. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness to be. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now again, actually I haven't said it yet. I'm not up here saying it's today, tomorrow, next week, this year, next year. But there is a time coming in God's word where it says there will be a rapture. The word itself wasn't exactly used until the Latin, but nonetheless, we can find scripture that tells of what that word is used to represent. Where Jesus comes in the clouds, he doesn't come all the way to step foot on earth. And then there is a great trumpet that sounds. It may not be the exact thing next on the list of the end times, but yet it's still coming. Scholars disagree whether or not there's going to be a war before or after that, but yet it's coming. We can look to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 52, and I'll read this to you. Listen, I tell you a mystery, and real quick, a mystery in the Bible is when it's early on and it's revealing, it's first, maybe second time, that something like this has been revealed in God's word. We will not all sleep, Paul says, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable. And we will be changed. We can look to Matthew 24, 31 through 36 to see some of the items, some of the lists that God has foretold that will happen around this time frame. And he will send his angel with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As we started out that scripture reading, Jesus is telling us about a fig tree and how it's getting tender, so it must be springtime preparing for summer. So we can take things and we can learn and understand what God's telling us. But what does the fig tree represent? That the end times are going to happen not in spring but in summer? Now, God's telling us we will know the time frame, and we can use the Bible to help us understand that. The Bible, if you will, decodes itself. We can look to Jeremiah 24, 5 through 7. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Like these good figs, I regard as good the exiles from Judah, whom I sent away from this place to the land of the Babylonians. My eyes will watch over them for their good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not uproot them. Now, the Israelites as individuals were called figs. Well, if we've learned anything or think we understand, figs come from fig trees, and fig trees produce figs. We can there understand that Jesus is then referring to the nation of Israel as that fig tree that we can watch, and from there the signs will be forthcoming. Old-time prophet Ezekiel in chapter 36, verse 24, "For I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land." Now understand that when this was prophesied, this is a long time ago. The last time that Israel was a nation was 1,870 plus years before they became a nation in 1948. They had been scattered for, if you want to round up, just shy of 2,000 years. They were not a formal nation until 1948. That's one thing to watch. But that's not all. We have to look then to what God is also trying to tell us. As you continue through that 36th chapter of Ezekiel, we then find that there's a mention of Jerusalem, that place where the sacrifices were made, that holy place of Jerusalem that God had given to them. We can also look to Zechariah 12:3. On that day, when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves. It was not until after the Six-Day War in 1967 that the Jerusalem spoken of became a part of the Israeli nation. It is in 1967 that Israel became the nation that we understand and is being foretold as they will come back in this land. They will have the nation. They will also be prosperous. As we read through the rest of 36 in Ezekiel, we're not going to read it all today. You'd throw things at me. But there's a summary I can make. There are lists of things that God's going to do for them, and we can sum them up as they're going to be prosperous. God no longer wants the nation of Israel to be a laughingstock, because he wants to show his glory through them. So that through the nation of Israel, God can be recognized as the Almighty. And he is going to restore them as he has foretold. He will make them prosperous. So what's a way that we can look and to see if they're truly prosperous? Well, we can take it down to the numbers. Something that we crunch each and every day, right? So if we compare the nation of Israel, their GDP, their gross domestic product, with that of 189 other countries for the 2015 year, any guesses as to where they rank? They're not number one, but out of 189, they're 23rd. With a population of 8.38 million people, I think we have cities here, right, that have greater population than that, right? A small nation that is 23rd out of 189, God has a plan for them. God is helping them to prosper. Now back to Ezekiel, we've got the time that Ezekiel is telling them they're going to be brought back, but the reason they had to leave, God allowed them to, because they had profaned his name. They had not followed what God had asked of them. And for chastisement, for discipline, God had allowed them to be carried away. But God wants to restore them to truly show how much power he has and protect them and show them, show the world God's own might. Out of this from Ezekiel, there's one last thing to be fulfilled in regards to the nation of Israel before they get fully engulfed and surrounded to where it looks like there will be nothing left. Prior to that, there will be a time of peace. And it was asked after the last service, well, don't you think they're in peace now? No, not when you have rocket shells and grenades and all coming in daily or weekly at minimum. They are not yet in that time of peace. But what this is referring to isn't the drive-by tour of our Christ. This is referring to his second tour here on earth, when he is physically on this earth, when he will be walking around on this earth. That is to where this prophecy goes to. It is at the time of peace that nations from the far north, known as Gog and others, in that chapter 36 of Ezekiel, that are going to come against Israel as to destroy her. But Israel is going to have an everlasting name. There will not be a complete destruction of Israel. It's not that there won't be any harm. There will not be a complete destruction. And we can find examples of that in Isaiah 56:5, Isaiah 45:17, and Genesis 17:19, before Israel, or as Israel was becoming a nation from the very beginning. And there are more examples. Have any of you heard about the calling to bring the Russians back to their homeland? And I'm talking today, like last week, maybe the 12th or 11th. Guess it depends on what side of the date and timeline you're on, right? If you haven't heard of that, that's okay. Maybe it's just a conspiracy, maybe it's a hoax, a scare tactic. But nonetheless, you line that up with, it's not hard to believe. It's really not hard to believe. But what we do know for sure is in God's word, the major players of the end times are named. Now, we read names such as Gog, Magog, Rosh, Tagarmo, Persia. Who can point those out on a map except for this one? I hope you can point them out on this one. Prior to that, we don't understand them. Yet they are references to the very nations that we recognize today. For example, we look to the top, we have Rosh. That's Russia. Rightfully colored in red, right? Over to the right, we have Magog in that light green. Such places as like Kazakhstan. And Afghanistan, I think, is in there too. I can pronounce that one. Then we have in the purpley pink, Iran. Changed its name was changed in close to 1935, where it was no longer called Persia. For the Persian people had been overtaken, and it was better suited to be called a country or a state, Iran, than it was just the group of people, Persia. Then we have in the yellow what we know as Turkey. And then in the light blue to the bottom, we have Kush there. Kush consisting of Sudan and Ethiopia. That in northern Africa. And then we have the dark blue, that of Put. I can't read the writing on those, but know that they are next door to Egypt, that we recognize, in northern Africa. And then in the very center, anybody see that little locating dot? The little bit of dark green. Israel. all of God's word for these prophecies point to and revolve around a speck on the map. God has chosen to care for and protect his people so that he can glorify his own name. As we watch the nation of Israel, who will have an everlasting name because our God has said so, there will be many more events to come. Today is not, again, it is not to say exactly when these events will happen, but only to let you know that there is a reality that they will, whether it's in our lifetime or not. Just as the apostles were asking, is it here? Is it here now? After Christ had left the earth, they thought he was coming back within 50 years or so. It was near then, it's near now, right? Has to be more near, right? Closer? The reality is, even if it's not within our lifetime, we've got some studying. If God didn't want us to learn about it, he wouldn't have put it in his word. He wants us to study and to grow after him, but not be consumed by this type of study. It's only to aid us, to encourage us, to push us forward in what we're truly called to do. What the Bible, the summary of the Bible for me, is to bring people to God. Beginning to end, that's what God wants. He's finding ways to talk to each and every individual on how and why he wants them. I trust God's word is true and there is more to come out of the prophecy. This is barely but a taste. And we have a great responsibility to serve, to share the love that Jesus Christ has for each one of us. The love that we recognize and have internalized, we have to share that with others. We can't keep it a secret. We can't keep it to ourselves. There are things occurring around us that show us there's still prophecy yet to be fulfilled. If we do our part and we share with those around us, they can be prepared as well. They might not yet accept it, but they'll be prepared to make their own decision. We must further our study, as I invite each and every one of us, to grow into God's word, to increase in our faith, discipling ourselves so that we can disciple others. May we not be caught off guard and be ready to go with Jesus if he calls from the air with that loud trumpet sound. And those who are left, may they have been exposed to the truth in God's word through us. So that as though they're questioning, they will have already been given the answer. May we plant that seed. May we work diligently as we watch for the coming of our Lord. If you'll stand and close. Just a short personal story as we wrap up the day. So I'm at work. I have a coworker. I overhear part of this. He's saying that someone he knows went and got to see some actors, comedians. I'm not sure 100% what they are or what you classify them. But it was here locally, and they got to get a picture with them. And this individual was kissed on their stomach by one of the other so-called famous people. That caught me a little off guard. So I then inquired as to who these people were. I had not heard of them. He, of course, said the name. I'm like, okay. He then shared that, well, you know, they're from the show Trailer Park Boys. There are a few of you that actually know what that means, which is good. I'm encouraged by this. But then there are those who are dying laughing in the back row. Turn and look now. It's not a great show. I did a little research, not much, just a touch of research. I didn't watch any episodes to do any recognize or checking out or anything. But he himself, he says, well, it's a show that you'd have to ask for forgiveness if you watched. My point with this is, he recognizes me as different. Now, was he poking fun of me or making a joke of me? Most likely, and that's fine. But he also recognized that maybe what he finds as funny, as entertaining, isn't the most wholesome of things. What I'm trying to say is, we're called to set ourselves apart from this world. The things that the masses find to be entertaining, funny, and relevant, and so on, we're to hold close to God's word. Not to separate ourselves from the world to the standpoint that we can't impact those around us that are following the world, but to the point that we can look, pray for those opportunities that we can then speak to them about the truth that we have understood as Christ is our Savior. With that said, be ready to be made fun of, number one, okay? But it's okay. Set yourselves apart from this world, giving yourself fully to God. Now, I will say one last thing. I'm not saying I have never watched a show that I shouldn't. Do not misunderstand that. But I am merely stating, if you find yourself doing that, find a way to stop doing that. And God can provide the out for you. 2 Corinthians 9, 10, 11. Close. It's close. A couple verses up or down. We have a great responsibility before us. I pray that we can see what's going on around us, not bury our heads in the sand and say it's too confusing or anything like that. I'm not saying we all have to be scholars either, but we have to be engaged. God's called us to be engaged with sharing with others about him and his son and the love that they both have for us. With that said, if you'll bow with me for a short prayer here. Father, lead us, take charge of us. May we impact this world for you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and guide us through this week. May we truly shine the love that you filled us with to the rest of this world. Lead us, I pray. Amen.